I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Atlanta! What's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man!
Glad to have you listening on a Friday. We're hanging out at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. And I see Georgia fans, Mike. They're everywhere.
Oh, these guys are big money. They're sitting. These guys are in club level. These guys. I heard that on the radio earlier. That's a Georgia polo tucked in. He's club level, Carl. That's big money right there. That's class of '84.
Oh, look at my man right here. He just pulled up his shirt. He's got his dog shirt on right there.
That's definitely class of '84. That's those guys who have the party down in Amelia Island during the cocktail party weekend. These guys got it dialed in, brother.
We're going to be talking about the dogs all day. Our man Brian Jones from CBS is going to join us. Mm. And Mike, rumor has it, he's going to make his way out here to Twin Peaks to hang out with us today.
Well, we owe him a bunch of steaks, so I know they serve that here. So I don't know if he's willing to take it this afternoon. But we owe Brian about three steaks over the bets we've made over the years. But one of our favorite entertaining guys who always brings the heat. So looking forward to seeing his take on this college football weekend.
That's going to be a little bit later on in the show. Chuck Smith will stop by today. We'll talk to Steve Coonan. Hawks are dealing with injuries. We've got to talk about that.
Here we go.
And we will along the way. But I got to ask you something as we talk about the SEC championship game tomorrow. Is this the greatest time in the history of Georgia football right now?
This is the era which Georgia fans thought they were getting with Mark Richt, and they got close. But this is one where you look at the landscape, and it has nothing to do with Alabama and whether Nick Saban is 65 or 75. It's what you're doing. You're taking that formula. Kirby is doing everything that should have been done here in the Donnan years, in the Goff years. And, yeah, it's, some would say after Herschel, Vince could have had his cooking too, but it was a different time back then. But in the modern era of the SEC, to watch Spurrier build that machine, to watch Urban Meyer build that machine. Hell, to watch Philip Fulmer win a national championship. And now it's your time. And hopefully it'll be sustained for more than a decade and maybe beyond.
Yeah, I think, and I know for older dog fans, you're going to say, you know, listen, Vince did a lot, and he built the program, and he did. And we're talking about the legendary Vince Dooley. Rest in peace. But this is five of the last 6 years you're in the SEC championship game. Right. When we started this talking about Kirby and what the goal was, Kirby was like, look, we expect to win the East. We expect to be in the SEC championship game every year. And for dog fans, I just hope they're not taking this for granted, because you are. Five of the last 6 years, you're in this game to decide who wins this conference. More importantly, Mike, now a chance to move on to the college football playoff. In the big picture, moving forward, let's just jump to 2024. Even if Georgia lost this game, Mike, they'd still be in.
Right.
The top 12 teams are getting in 2 years from now. So my point is, there's going to be a chance for Georgia to be in the playoff every year for the next X amount of years based on this new system.
Right.
We're not talking about the top four. I think we're living right now in the best era and the best time of Georgia football. I'm not saying the players are better. I'm not telling you that the quarterbacks are better. I'm just saying from a program standpoint, right, this right now is the epitome of where you want to be.
Well, give you an example of why, and this is not to be, if you're new to the station, you know, two homers talking dogs, it's the reality. You put the entire team in the NFL last year, it seemed like, the entire defense. You know, think about all those picks that went in. And now this year, your defense, without all that star talent, might be better as a sum of its parts. That's coaching. That's the machine. That's when I say machine, that's just a code word for the infrastructure. They've got the recruiting. They've got the facilities. And, of course, they've got the talent. And they've got the best coaching staff. This is the best coaching staff I think we've seen at Georgia, going back to when Irk Russell was on defense and Vince was on the other side. So
I agree.
You go back and you look at everything you just talked about. And then you were right. You might see Florida get their act together. You may see Tennessee continue to grow. Shane Beamer, this division, the East might flip and become the better division, even with Oklahoma and Texas coming in.
I agree.
But the good news is you handle your business because of the expanded playoff. You're going to have a puncher's chance every year.
It's Dukes and Bell, guys. We're live at Twin Peaks Buckhead. You feel the vibrant atmosphere because I think that's what happens when the SEC championship comes to town and people are coming in and they're checking things out. And on top of that, guys, this is just a big weekend. I mean, we got Team USA, Mike, advancing to the group of 16. Mm. That is a huge match tomorrow. And whether you're a casual soccer fan or not, we're paying attention to that. Falcons have a big game against the Steelers on Sunday.
Right.
You got all these championship, college football championship, you know, games going on this weekend. And then our Hawks are playing tonight against the Nuggets. It's a big weekend here in the A. 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Twitter and social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up, C Dukes. And this radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on and follow us on the gram as well. Chuck Smith's on the way here in about 10 minutes. Also, as we mentioned, guys, a bunch of different guests are going to stop by. If you missed Brad Nessler yesterday, go hear what Ness had to say. And we'll play a little bit of that for you today, Mike, because, you know, the voice of the SEC was saying, basically, without saying it, Georgia's not going to trip up.
Right.
He feels like even if LSU gives them their best game, they're still going to have a hard time tomorrow trying to defeat Georgia, and I feel the same way. If you're going to ask me right now, is there a lock in these championship games? Tonight, by the way, Pac-12, Utah taking on USC. I think there's a lot of pressure on USC to get this done in a rematch game, Mike.
And everybody expects USC, let's be honest, on this side of the Mississippi to stumble. Who's going to make the defensive stop? Now, Utah, look, they've come east this year. They got spanked by Florida, but I think
that was a good game.
But this is a team which plays probably the best, arguably, defense in that Pac-12 conference. So we'll see if USC, how Caleb Williams handles it. People, and you and I were talking, just it's not the most deep, not what we thought it was going to the season. We thought C.J. Stroud, certainly Bryce Young, even Will Anderson we got to mention for Heisman. But I got to be honest, the first name you and I talked about off the air yesterday was Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
For what he's doing at USC, accounting for scores in the air with his feet. What are they going to do and dial up to make this happen for USC to punch their ticket in Lincoln Riley's first year there? Talk about exceeding expectations.
Well, listen, when he took the job, we thought they'd be good. We didn't think they'd be this good this soon. But this is the world of the transfer portal. Georgia Tech, are you listening? This is how you can literally change things within a season. Now, Mike, is it sustainable? Well, at USC, it should be because you've got a great recruiting ground out there in California. Lincoln Riley knows the lay of the land. He's been at Oklahoma.
Right.
He should be able to sustain this even a few years from now when you say, well, hey, Caleb's gone. But I'm just saying, the people at Georgia Tech this week with the coaching change, you know, it's like, how soon are we going to be good? It shouldn't take that long anymore. With recruiting and the transfer report, it just shouldn't take that long.
You're seeing teams make it happen. And Brent Key, like I said, you just touched on it. You go with the pro style. I mean, that's technically what Collins was running. But you're going to manage the good recruits. It wasn't like Jeff Collins didn't bring in anybody that was good. He brought in some good players. He just mishandled everything because they were so disorganized.
That's right.
So a combination of getting guys to dial in and buy in. You saw that when they announced the video. And he comes in. The team goes nuts. Hopefully, yeah, you're going to lose guys. Sims was he was gone 2 months ago. We all saw that coming. But this is a guy who's got a chance through the portal, you're right, to make things happen and be bowl eligible next year.
Yeah, you should be. All right, guys, want to hear from you. We got a lot in store on a big Friday show. We're going to get into the Hawks as well because I am concerned. I'm worried that what we've been telling you might be true. I'm going to tell you what that is coming up a little bit later as we talk about the Hawks. If you have thoughts on Georgia, I want to hear from you guys on the text line. Hit us up. Let us know what you're thinking. I just think right now we're in the best era of Georgia football, and it's saying a lot. When Vince Dooley built it, right, it's sort of like when you go back to Bear Bryant. When he's going through that and building Alabama and it's becoming this huge brand and everybody around the country is paying attention to the football program, when you are doing that, right, you don't know what it's going to be 10, 15, 20 years down the road. Every team, every program has these ebbs and flows. Texas has gone through it. Alabama went through it before they hired Nick Saban.
Yeah.
But right now, with Kirby Smart, this is why we said, Mike, he's worth $100 million.
Yeah, and again, I know that, you know, look, Ray Goff, great guy. And Ray, it was an easy hire at the time because of Vince's connection with Ray. But Ray did not maximize the talent. Jim Donnan, everybody loves Coach Donnan. Good guy to have a beer with. It was gimmicky. It was silly. you know, it was Charles Grant, all that nonsense. So when you think about Donnan, the ultimate sort of example of not maximizing the talent. And then Rick finally got Georgia in the national conversation, but then they couldn't punch through. The best team they had, it was the 2012. I still think the 2017 with Matthew Stafford and O'Shawn Moreno. Obviously, the David and David show with Pollock, etc. So Mark Richt took you to the next level. And then Kirby says it. He's not standing on the shoulders of the previous generations. But Kirby has got the thing which everybody wants. He's taken that. He's the only guy who's taken that Saban juice and has been able to sprinkle it around. And you're seeing this thing grow into a machine just like Alabama.
Yeah, and Mike, to your point about Mark Richt. Mark Richt, I respect Mark
Richt. Not disrespectful, but we just never got through.
No, but Kirby has taken he's done it better.
Right.
I mean, it's just kind of what it is. And you can tell me Mark Richt is beloved, and he is.
And he's a wonderful human being.
He is.
Right? But his legacy will always stand at Georgia.
It'll be what it is. But Kirby's recruiting has been better. His results have been better. And right now, he's playing for more chips in a shorter period of time than what it took Mark Richt to do. And because of that, I think that's the reason why I have to say right now is the best era.
When I first started working with you, I said either Clemson and Georgia were the same animal.
Yeah.
Who's going to get to the national championship first? So it so happened, Dabo and Clemson got there. Now Dabo's going to have to deal with what Bobby Bowden dealt with, losing staff. So far, Kirby's been able to lose staff.
And how about changing quarterbacks?
Well, that's another step in the equation. You and I were just chatting with a Clemson fan earlier. But the point I'm getting to is, when Florida, for years, guys like Galen Hall and Charlie Pell, they had all the talent.
That's right.
Emmitt Smith, guys like that rolling through. And it took Steve Spurrier to get them to that next level. And whether they were a perennial national champion, you know, or in the mix for that championship. And that's what Georgia fans were waiting for. And Mark scratched the surface. Kirby's built it. You're right. We're here.
Coming up, you're going to hear from Brian Kelly. He has a lot of positive things to say about Georgia and how tough they're going to be to defend. And why wouldn't he? LSU, Georgia tomorrow, SEC championship game. In our backyard, guys, right at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. When we come back, we're going to talk to Chuck Smith. Dr. Rush will talk to us about the Falcons, the Steelers, and much more. And last night, it finally came to a head. We'll explain coming up at 2:20 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. We're live at Twin Peaks, Buckhead location. What's up, dog?
Hey, hey, hey.
Go, dogs! My man just walked in with his dog gear on. A lot of dog fans are here. Chuck Smith, it's good to have you back on the show. Before we get into some of the things that we want to talk about with you in regards to this game on Sunday and the Falcons, even last night, because I thought last night some things got exposed that we've been talking about on this show, I want to ask you about the Ring of Honor, man. And I'm talking about the Falcons Ring of Honor. We just saw Hugh Douglas go into the Ring of Honor in Philadelphia. I don't know if you've thought about it. I don't know if you've had conversations, if they've contacted you. What's the deal, Chuck?
Well, you know what? No, they never contacted me. But, I'm not sure how that decision's made. But you know what, Carl? I think some of it, that stuff has to do with when the transition of the ownership came in. Because there's not as much known about what we did in the past, the former players. Because I think, you know, and that's just how the business worked. When Arthur Blank bought the team, everything moved forward, and kind of the past was the past.
Okay.
But, you know, so I think that has a lot to do with it, especially, like, if you were to do your research. You know, I was blessed to be a four-time Pro Bowl alternate. But when they look at it, I guess when you evaluate that some with the Falcons, that's kind of what they say. Well, he wasn't starting in the Pro Bowl. But, you know, when you really do the breakdown, for a decade when I played, Reggie White, Chris Dolman, Charles Haley. So the guys that were in front of me that affected my ability to play in the Pro Bowl are all Hall of Famers. Michael Strahan, I can go down the list. So I think the research, probably not, you know, most people wouldn't recognize and know. And I think it has something to do with just a little bit of not as much knowledge for the organization of what the guys who the dogs really were back in the true 90s.
All right, guys, back here at Twin Peaks. And Chuck Smith, we apologize. That was on our end. But all right. So we'll get Chuck back on here in just a second. We'll talk to him in a minute. But Mike and I were talking about this, about the Ring of Honor. And I was simply saying, I think, and this is not a shot at the Falcons. This is just facts. If you're not honoring the greats of your franchise, I think you're doing guys a disservice. Mud Duck just got honored, Mike. Mm-hmm. I was saying, rightfully so, deservingly so. But there are other guys who are not going to make the Hall of Fame who are great Falcons who should be a part of your Ring of Honor.
Right. Now, the Falcon Ring of Honor, guys like Steve Bartkowski, obviously, and Tommy Nobis, you know, that's an easy one. You know, Jesse Tuggle, we've talked about, you know, you go back to Mike Ken, Jeff Van Oates. These are all the guys that, you know, laid that foundation. But, yeah, I mean, Chuck was here for a while. The problem with, like, guys like Deion, they were only here for 4.5 years, and they're off to other teams.
True.
And obviously their ultimate success with Deion certainly was in San Fran and Dallas. But it is interesting. But also that part of that, and let's be honest, until Smitty and Matt Ryan got here, we didn't have back-to-back winning seasons.
That's right.
You know, Claude Humphrey also I left out. Claude Humphrey's one of the great Falcons of all time and a Hall of Famer. But, you know, I didn't know who Tommy Nobis was until I moved to Atlanta.
Right.
Which goes back to the size of the market, the expansion, and not knowing you put some of these guys. Again, I've said it a million times. You put Jeff Van Oates in Chicago or
New
the
York.
Jets.
That's right.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. Anyway, Chuck, while we lost and dropped, we were singing your praises, okay, bro, about the Ring of Honor. But anyway, we'll turn the page, get on to this weekend. I would say, before we dropped, Steelers, obviously that team is loaded up front. They're healthy now. I know their record doesn't really reflect the talent because they had some issues breaking in the new quarterback. How tough is it going to be to run the ball and do what we want to do against that front?
Well, this might be one of the best, most physical fronts they face. Now, they got good defenders. Larry Ogunjobi, Montrevious Adams, Tyson Alua. I mean, these are veterans. Chris Wormley. But the captain is the one that sets the tempo, and that's Cam Hayward. I mean, he's still playing at a high level. He's a physical specimen. And I can't wait to see him and Lindstrom get up against each other. Cam plays mainly on the right. He'll get to the left a few times with Lindstrom. But I think as far as running the ball, this is going to be one of the best tests for the Falcons. But when you look at what the Falcons' history, they've kind of stepped up. So it's going to be a big boy slugfest. But this is a good defensive line from the Steelers when it comes to versus the run.
Chuck, can we create pressure offensively with this Steeler offensive line from what you've seen? I mean, Kenny Pickett is a rookie, but I think his decision-making has been really good when I've seen him play. Last week, I thought he was good against the Colts, man.
Yeah, you know the thing about Kenny Pickett, he really looks to me to run. I mean, he's not as polished in the pocket, we know that. But on this offensive line, the Pittsburgh folks feel like they've gotten better. Because this offensive line, outside of the center, Mason Cole, they've all played every snap this year. James Daniels, Kevin Dotson, to answer your question, I think we got an opportunity there. They're young guys. They're all this whole group's under 26. But I think our interior have a great chance, and I hope that Dean Pease sends some pressure, because when they send pressure like the Colts did, they melt. You know, but this team, this is a team that the Falcons, I can see the Falcons getting multiple sacks. I really can. The offense, Kenny Pickett's averaging just, what, over 6 yards a pass? Come on, man. I mean, so really, the Falcons, to me, you don't have to worry as much about the big play. So I hope they take some chances and really go after Kenny Pickett, and it could be a big day rush the passer for the Falcons, in my opinion.
It is. Big Chuck Smith with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. We're live at Twin Peaks up in Buckhead. Yeah, George Pickens, a lot of Georgia fans be curious to see what he can do. But as Chuck said, they haven't really done the vertical thing as much as I think people saw. Early in the season, it was Pickens saying, hey, give me the rock. They finally got Claypool off that roster. So technically, he should be showing out a little bit more. Hey, Chuck, we were talking about this week, Drake London. I know we asked you so much about Ebukadie and obviously Malone. What do you think about Drake's season so far? His production is really low, and I think a lot of that, unfortunately, goes back to Mariota not getting the ball that much.
Well, I think Jake's just a product of an offense. I'm sorry, not Jake, but I'm sorry. Drake is just a product of an offense that doesn't throw the ball well. I mean, let's look at Kyle Pitts. We talk about what Kyle Pitts is not getting. So it's the same thing with Drake London. And I think what happens a lot of times, Marcus Mariota, he doesn't get a full read of the field. It's one read and go. So I just think it's the way the offense is designed. But you'd like to see, you know, a guy you drafted that high have a big impact. But you know what? They're going to need him. The Falcons moving forward, they're going to need him to make some plays. And this is a, you know, Minka Fitzpatrick, this is a tough secondary. But of course, everybody wants to see more, and even himself. I know he holds himself to a higher level. But from a team standpoint, you know, he doesn't say anything. He's a rookie. He's taking his lumps. And that's right now what he has to do.
Chuck, I know you work with Von Miller. He's out IR for at least 4 weeks. But the Bills' defense responded last night, and I think, you know, the Patriots' offense got exposed again for what they're not and what they haven't been pretty much all season. Are you surprised at how well the Bills responded without Von Miller in the lineup?
Carl, I got to say no. And I love my guy's impact, but I got to say no. The Bills have drafted well. Look at A.J. Epenesa last night. I mean, he's in his, what, A.J.'s second year? Greg Russo, Carl, me and Mike, we used to hammer that one. Yeah, we need to get Russo. Look at, so
from Miami.
Think about, think about Basham. They drafted well. These are young guys, and this is the same group that last year was the number one defense in the NFL. So I'm not surprised they're better, Carl, because they've had these guys. They just needed Vaughn as the closer. But I think they got some young guys that have learned from Vaughn, and I don't think they're going to miss a beat, honestly.
It is Big Chuck Smith breaking down the Falcons. Hey, let's swing over to the SEC Championship. Are you surprised how the Georgia Bulldogs, despite losing all of those guys to the NFL draft, 14 players in that roster in the NFL, but obviously the studs on the defensive line, the linebackers. Chuck, could you argue that this defense is better? It's a sum of its parts in the way they've been coached up by Kirby and Muschamp and company?
Hey, let me tell you, I chuckled a little bit. No, I ain't surprised that they're good this year. I got a nice little trip down there. I shouted out to my people I know down there, Kirby, and shout out to, you know, all the coaches. They let me come and watch for a day. I walked on the field and my jaws just dropped. I was like, this is the next generation? I said, Lord have mercy, people have no idea what they got. Now, to answer that question, are they better than last year? No. They might be in another year or two. I'm just telling you, because they're young boys. They got a young group. But the last 2 years, and really last 2 years, they had as great a defensive run in NCAA history. Last year is unique. But I'm not surprised, though, that they're still successful. They got great coaches. They got supremely high-charged defensive players that have waited their turn. It's their time to step up. So, I think Georgia's well on their way. And I tweeted this, like, early this year. Some of my Tennessee fans got salty with me. I was like, listen, I'm sorry, SEC. If y'all only knew what them boys got down there in Athens, you better man up. You better get the recruiting. Kirby got them boys rolling, man. He ain't being the hunter. He's going to be the hunter because the kind of guys he got, they them dogs, man. So credit to him.
Yeah, and Chuck, before we let you go, because it's interesting, you talk about development. This is big with you. The Dogs coaches are developing talent. Listen, it's one thing to get a five-star. Yeah. I've seen five stars all my life. A lot of guys come to college, they don't get better, right? They're there and they're good. And then there are guys that come to college and they get really good because there's development. You're telling us that's what's going on with Georgia, and especially like on the defensive side of the football.
No question. Let me just first talk about when I was down there. They know, so I'm not giving no secrets. I ain't saying nothing. I'm giving a general what I saw with my eyeballs. All I know is this. I watched Trey Scott, their D-line coach. I watched him striking the sled. Bang, coming out their hips, striking with their palms open, challenging them. I watched Kirby Smart challenge every position. So the technique and the things that they're doing, Del McGee with the running back, curving the ball up, running behind their shoulders. No. They're coaching the hell out of them dudes. The one thing they will never get right now is out-coached, because Kirby's got an incredible staff. But again, you got high-level coaches that are developing talent, and they got that advantage, and that's something that they're going to carry with them. Those guys are good coaches.
Chuck Smith, great job. Looking forward to seeing what the Falcons do against the Steelers on Sunday. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts on Tuesday. He'll be back with this man. Get us out of here, Chuck.
He's in our Ring of Honor.
That's right.
All right.
He is.
Thank you. All right. Here we go. I got one for y'all. Live life every day like Sir Nate. Mike, Carl, have you put up your Christmas tree yet?
Oh, yeah. Lights are up, baby. Tree's up.
All right. I can't lie. I'm doing it this weekend. I know you were up on the roof last week, but I'm doing it this weekend, man.
And, Chuck, I got a manger. Instead of baby Jesus, I got you in the middle.
Chuck, man, take care. Be safe and stop climbing on those roofs. All right, man, coming up, we got some headlines to hit, and we will talk about what's going on with the thing that has concerned me the most about this particular player, and it's turning out to be true. We're live at Twin Peaks. We'll tell you about it. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell. Live at Twin Peaks, Buckhead location, tomorrow, SEC championship game. Big shout out.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To Judge Smith for stopping by. And coming up, we've got a lot more guests, guys, on the show today, including Steve Koonin, Hawks CEO. Now, I got to mention this because it's kind of bugging me, Mike. And some people are going to say, well, you know, you're killing this guy.
Lay it on me.
DeAndre Hunter is always hurt.
That's what I told you. That was the debate about the contract. Because
he's always hurt.
If you're betting on the come about DeAndre Hunter, going to give him that big money. And it's not the biggest contract by NBA standards.
It's like, $95 million.
But again, it all adds up, right? Tony Rest is saying, what am I getting from John Collins for $200? What am I getting for this guy? What am I getting for that guy? They moved on from Herter. What was he, $75 million?
Yes,
they moved on from Herter.
65, yes.
And Herter is obviously balling out for Sacramento. But DeAndre Hunter, it's just this was the great debate. As long as he gets back, look, I don't expect you to play 82 games, but I don't expect you to play 50 either. I mean, and that's been his MO. You remember we had that conversation, I think, about the same time last year. At one point, he and Zamir Uzus basically had the same amount of games played.
Yes.
You know, Zion, I should
Zion,
say.
Zion Williamson.
Not,
yes.
Not Zeus. Zeus is the movie star with the one out of the eyeballs that are googling. But no, it was, about Zion Williamson, about the inability to stay on the floor. See, that's what's got to happen here. I mean, first things first, Carl, as you always say, ability, availability.
Yeah.
And that's a concern. Because here we go again.
He's going to miss at least a week after the MRI revealed a right hip flexor strain. Now, listen, injuries happen. I can never fault a guy for getting injured because it's just a part of it. But when it seems like it's every season and every year you're missing multiple games and weeks at a time, it just makes you wonder. And so the Hawks paid him because
right.
The upside and the potential of what DeAndre Hunter can be, big picture, is very exciting. The reality is we have yet to see it.
Correct.
He's only averaging 14 a game.
And by the way, I apologize if I went Nostradamus by saying to you, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, and I did knock wood. Give
you
me credit.
Did. You did.
I'm Irish. I got that Irish fatalism. But I said to you, Carl, why? Because guys were getting on us saying we were overreacting to them losing to Houston, losing to Philadelphia.
Yep.
And I said to you, as I said to the listeners, brother, when you lose those games, they add up to the games which you're not going to be able to make up come April, and that's why you're in the play-in. By the way, sidebar, Randy McMichael is completely, I would say confused or bemused that Squidbilly has ordered a nice piece of grilled salmon here at Twin Peaks, which, by the way, is delicious. Although when I'm here, I like my food fried or chicken fried.
Yeah, but Randy just walked over and said, what is that?
But you and I had said, you're going to miss games. Injuries are always, and for any team, are part of any NBA season. The Celtics had their injuries a little bit earlier this year.
Yeah.
And now they're still rolling.
Well, listen, and I still have high hopes for DeAndre Hunter.
But it's a thing.
And if you want to deny it, if you want to say, oh, Dukes, you're overreacting, it's only a week. It's been a week every single year he's been here.
That's true.
It's been a week or 2 weeks or 2 weeks or 3 weeks every year he's been here. So all I'm saying is you've now got your money.
Right.
I need some payback. I need some dividends on that. I need some return on my investment.
And he's looking good. When he's on the floor, he's looking good. But now here we go again.
With that said, Hunter's out. John Collins is going to be out at least 2 weeks.
Is Bogey back?
With that that ankle sprain. And no word on Bogey or whether or not, you know, the timetable. But
here we go again.
So this is – over the next couple of weeks, we'll see. Tonight, we've got the Nuggets in town. Mm. We're going to have to do it without these guys being on the floor. But yeah, I just – it's a concern, man. And we keep talking about, well, next year. There is no tomorrow.
There is no tomorrow.
Okay.
But this is why guys are getting on our case, because we were saying, oh, come on, guys. It's not even Christmas, let alone the All-Star break. And I get that. Now, again, maybe the fan interest ramps up around Christmas or after the All-Star break.
Yeah, sure.
But these games still matter. Do you want to find yourself having to play in those play-in games again? We were talking about adding DeJounte Murray and being one of the top three or four teams minimum in this conference.
And I hope we are. All right, D-Hunter, with all that said, get better. We need you on the floor, bro. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Turtle behind the glass. Our engineer, Bo Morgan, is here with us, executive producing. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
In the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Let's hear from Grady Jarrett talking about Kenny Pickett. If you think he's not any good, you're taking him for granted. And right. Grady is not doing that.
Understood. I think, you know, when you're starting pro football quarterback, you're a pretty special dude, you know. And there's only 32 teams in the world. And at this level, every organization trusts you to put you out there to represent, you know, their team, their city. You're a pretty good player. So you got to definitely give it that respect and, you know, just take it how it comes and, you know, be ready to try to get out there.
I agree with Grady. I mean, like, I know he's a rookie, but
right.
If you think he's not any good, then he's got 3 touchdowns in the game, and all of a sudden we're down 12 or 14, you're going, Pickett's pretty good. You got to respect your opponent. Grady Jarrett is doing that. Meanwhile, Mike, Dave Ragone, the offensive coordinator. Now, Coach Art calls the plays, but Dave Ragone and Art can collaborate. He was talking about rewatching the end of the Washington game and what he saw after the interception.
Being in this league and being around it more than half my life, like, pitfalls happen. Again, when you look at play design, regardless of when, you ask yourself as coaches, are you putting your players in the best positions? Were you able to at least schematically give yourself a chance? And then there's variables, right? It's no different than the play in that drive in which Marcus play actions slips at the top of the drive, avoids a potential sack, and you get a huge, huge play. That's a variable. Dave, at no point are we practicing Marcus outside. Hey, Marcus, fall down, get to a knee, don't get touched, get yourself back up and throw that ball. Right? So there's variables in which you can never account for.
Yeah, and he's right. He's talking about the play Mike said might have been Marcus's best throw last week.
Right, where he actually misses the pass rush, gets down on one knee, not touched by the defender, and then drops a dime.
And Ragone saying, there's no variable for a big defensive lineman to get his paw up there and bat the ball, and it's picked off.
I mean, but when things are, when you're struggling, Carl, when you're scuffling, this is just the way things are. I mean, if you go back and you pointed out this on Monday, all those three and outs, it's cause and effect.
Yeah.
You've got three and outs where you find yourself there in that last minute drive to win the game where you should probably put points on the board in the first half.
Do they respond this week? Do they play better than they? I thought they played really well last week.
You know, it's. But.
Thank you,
thanks,
sir.
Brother. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you,
bro. Live in Twin Peaks and Buckhead, man. But, no, it's just, I mean, guys came up to us before the show, and they said, what are we going to do this weekend? I go, we're going to do the same thing we did last week. We're going to run for 150, throw for about 150, and hope that Mario doesn't screw up, and hope that Pickett does. And that's kind of where we're at. I mean, I'd love to give you more positivity, but I'm giving you reality. We have limitations. We hope our defense steps up. Our defense has provided some big-time closeouts, and the offense hasn't responded. They did it against San Diego, the Chargers. They did it certainly against the Bears, and they kind of did it and gave you the chance to win the game against Washington.
They did. That's the thing that gives me hope about this weekend. This is kind of a toss-up game for me. As much as I want to say Falcons will win because we've been a better team at home, we've got a good home record.
Right.
We've been in all these games at the end. The problem has been – What unit is on the field? Is the defense to stop it, stop the drive and get off the field and win the game, or is the offense having to go down and score?
You know what? Since you brought it up, which unit are you having more confidence in the final 2 minutes?
Defense,
based on the last 3 games, defense.
Defense.
The Carolina game, as bad as we looked in Carolina, they got stops when we needed to.
Yeah,
late in that fourth quarter.
Let's hear from Brian Kelly. Me and my family. LSU's head coach talking about dealing with UGA's tight ends tomorrow in the SEC championship game.
You know, Darnell Washington is a large, large person, 6'7". I mean, he's there's nobody that really has a favorable matchup against him. And then, you know, Bowers, he leads the team, I believe, in receptions. He's a Lombardi Award finalist.
Yeah, listen, this is the best tight end room in the country. We've talked about that. And we haven't even seen Gilbert all season.
Right.
So, you know, Darnell Washington, Mike, I told you, I saw him get off the bus. And really, you know, that old joke about you see a team get off the bus. I thought it was the Rams getting off the bus. Darnell towered over everybody else. He's massive shoulders.
Right.
And you just think, Stetson Bennett, how do you not hit this guy? Well, just throw the ball up there.
This is the thing that I've spoken about. And sometimes I text this to Pollock. Sometimes he hits me back. Sometimes he ghosts me. But I was talking to Pollock, and I was saying, I go, you know, why don't you just give the ball to McIntosh 25 times and let the other guys figure it out later in their careers?
Yes.
And let's get that ball, to your point, to the biggest target on the field, who it's literally like the movie Gulliver's Travels. You got Lilliputians all over this guy, and you can't stop him. So, I mean, but that's the beauty of it. If you're Georgia, you got four running backs that are really, really good. Two that are great. You got three tight ends, or two that are really, really great. And you got one good wide receiver, maybe whatever you think McConkey is. You know, that's what makes this thing so exciting. It almost like it's an overwhelming amount of wealth and riches for Todd Monken to use. And sometimes you feel as a fan, you're not focusing on the one tool for the job. Is that fair?
It is, and it is. We'll see what the offense does tomorrow against LSU, SEC championship game. We're live at Twin Peaks. NFL Blitz is on the way. Find out what coach says he'd fire his own family member if he had to. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Odyssey.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.